is turning up for the first time. I hope that you will like our program today and your heart like our worship. And we want to go through that all the songs, all the announcements, every single item, including the message, is a settings that we set up for the worship. Now today we come to chapter 5 of John, and we're going to talk about life. All right. What do you think is life? Have you ever thought that you have been living life for such a long time? Maybe you are 18 years old, maybe you're 80 years old. For however long you are, have you ever wondered what your life is about? Today we're going to talk about life through Jesus. What does that mean? How is life like? Everybody has different life. We live different life. We have different perspective of life. That's how we live differently. That's why we have indifference. That's why we see things differently. We have different culture. We live differently. Like, for example, this day, today, is the third day of the Chinese Lunar New Year. And it is called the Spring Festival. But it's not spring here. So we still celebrate our Chinese New Year today. We got another 12 more days to go. So back in Singapore, you'll probably have 4 days of holidays. Back in China, you'll probably have 10 days of holidays. But down here, there's no holidays here. But you have Valentine's Day. You see, some people celebrate Valentine's. It's part of their life. It's part of your culture. Some people do not celebrate Valentine's Day. So does that make us different in life? We do life differently. So some people believe there is no life after death. So that's why they live life. That's why the life, if that's the case, then life has no purpose. Because there's no consequences. You do whatever you like, and it's a full stop. You can stop your life now because there's no afterlife. There's no continuation. But we do believe in the Bible. The Bible tells us there is life after death. There's an afterlife there. So afterlife, if there's an afterlife, then there must be a purpose. There is a standard that we need to meet. There's a goal we need to meet. That's why the Bible says that there is life, there's judgment after life. So that this judgment means that there is a standard that we need to follow. There's a standard we need to meet. So the judgment is there to testify, to give us a fair trial on how we live our life and what we live our life based on. And this fair trial is going to give us, this judgment is going to, define where we end up. Where is our destiny? Whether it's eternally with God or eternally without God. So that is what the Bible has tell us. So I'll leave you to that to decide for yourself. Is there an afterlife? But according to the Bible that we see from last week as Jesus talks about, he healed a man by a pool. And he asked him a question of, do you want to get well? If you look at this question, it's actually asking the same question, do you want to live? Do you want to have a life? It's asking you that. At that very moment, that person was healed because he said yes. His life was transformed. And the very first thing that we observed last week was that after his healing, he picked up his mat and walked. And then where did he go? He go to the temple. It showed us a sign of humankind, of a natural thing that is it comes for humankind. We desire to worship. That man was sick, or what you call not valid to worship God for the past 38 years. And now he got healed. Then he's able to go back to the temple and worship God. In our life, in the life that we are living today, are we living a life that counts? Are we living a life that matters, that has a purpose, that is preparing for our destiny, of our final destination? If death is not the end, then there must be a life after. What are you going to do right now? Decide what you're going to, decide your destiny, decide what you're going to end up, where you're going to end up in your afterlife. So as we saw that story of that healing, one thing that in particular was that that Jesus claimed that he was equal to God. This claim actually stirred the emotion, stirred the anger of those Jewish leaders, official circle, that they wanted to kill him. But this was not the trigger point. The trigger point was way back before when Jesus cleansed the temple. That was the very first time that they start to have a thought of they were going to seek an opportunity to kill Jesus, to eliminate Jesus, to get rid of Jesus. And now they found one because of what Jesus claimed here. He says that my Father is working every single day, every single moment up until now. He's still working. And I too am working. So this claim make two points here. He says that what Jesus was claiming was that God is his Father. God is his own Father. Now, this is a no-no, all right? According to the Jewish tradition, the elder son represents the Father. That means when Jesus said this statement, he was saying that God is his own Father. That means he and God are one. So that's why it stirred up that emotion. How can you, as a humankind, call our God your Father? It's a no thing, but he was the one. He claimed this. And the certain thing that he claimed from this statement was that he claims that he's an instrument to the Father. Whatever my Father do, I do. When my Father is working, I'm working too. All right? So he's equal to the Father. He's working all the time. So he worked through people. He allowed the Father to work through people and work with people, and he became the instrument. In this case, he became the instrument to seek this sick man. This person, this man who was bound by this sickness and finally got his freedom released after he was healed. All right? And all this claim, when Jesus claimed all this thing, what does it mean to us? This is actually telling us this is the life of Jesus. This is life through Jesus. This is what we're going to see. And later on, he's going to make his claim. He's going to justify his claim through today's scripture as Peter has just read to us. All right? We're going to see there are 5 points to it. But what makes life through Jesus so special? It reveals the secret, the meaning of life to us. How we can live a life that is favorable to God, that is benefit to us for the life that we right now live on earth, as well as extended to eternity. The Bible says that when you believe in the name of Jesus, you are given the right to become the child of God. What does that mean? That means we co-heir. We inherit whatever Jesus has. Whatever Jesus claimed that he has, we can have it. We have it not saying that we are equal. We can't claim that we're equal to God. But we are in co-heir, co-share with whatever abundance Jesus has. If he suffer, we suffer with him. If he receive glory, we receive the same glory as him. So this Jesus claimed that he was equal to God. So we're going to see how he claimed to be equal to God today. There are 5 things that he claimed today. He said equal to God in works, in power, in authority, in honor, and in truth. So the first thing that he claimed, that he works, he said, my Father worked until today, until right now, every single time, every single moment, me too. So, and he says in verse 19, he said, I tell you the truth. Remember the last time I told you? Whenever you pick up this, I tell you the truth. Something that is following up is going to be true and it's going to be important. The Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees his Father is doing. Because whatever the Father does, see that? Whatever the Father does, the Son does. What Jesus is trying to say, everything that you've seen so far, we've been through chapter 4, we've been through chapter 5, we've seen the miracle of the healing of that man by the pool. All this miracle that you see is a miraculous sign that God is revealing to the world.
exact to the work of the Father. Exact is the same exact work of God. So that's what Jesus is saying. All right, you see this, and Jesus and the Father, Jesus and God are union in their action. So they act in unity. All right, so this is the first criteria. This is the first life of Jesus. This is something that first I want you to think about. Do we work in unity with each other? Do we actually honor, work closely together according to our Father's plan? Do we see how God is working through people and through ourselves, and we cooperate and become His instrument to allow His work to fulfill? Then the next thing that it comes to is that Jesus is also equal to the Father by power. What sort of power is this? The power to give life. It's the power of giving life, the power of resurrection. There's no greater power than this. The greatest power of God is that He can create. The greatest power is that He can give life from death to life. And the third thing that Jesus claimed to be, to have, is that He has the authority, same equal authority as the Father. Why? Because He was given, He was entrusted to give judgment to the world. And this judgment, when this authority, you look at this, what sort of authority is this? It's the same authority that has been commissioned to all disciples, all believers, all followers, to make disciples of all nations. This is the authority that we're given. Have you ever thought of, for people who thought of, why am I not sharing gospel? Why? How come I'm so shy in sharing gospel? Or some people might say that, oh, I have never shared gospel because it's not just not my thing. But think again. Jesus bear the authority equal to the Father, and He gave the authority to us, to all His disciples, all His faithful followers, to share the gospel, share with all nations. That's the commissioning. That's the commandment that is given to us. It's not a great suggestion that is given to us. And the next one, the fourth one, is that He has the same honor as the Father. What does that mean? You see, honor here, honor Son, honor the Father. Those who honor the Son, honor the Father. What sort of honor do we? When the Father received glory, that's the honor. Now, when did that happen? When is that going to happen? When is the Father going to receive the glory? It's when all people, all nations, repent and put aside our agendas and our indifferences to come and worship Him. This is what, we have a taste of heaven here today when we come to the church. Now, church, I know we are locked down. But we are all over the world. A lot of churches are actually having live stream, having probably, if they can meet together, they meet together in homes, in the buildings. But all people, all nations who repented, put aside their agendas and put aside their indifferences, they come together as one to do only one thing, to worship our Father, worship our God. That is glory to God, and that is honor to our Father. And the very final point that Jesus made His claim to be equal is that He has the equal truth than the Father, as the Father. He bears the same equal truth of who He is, what He does, what He did. It's the same exact equal truth to the Father. So you believe in Jesus, if you believe Jesus is God, then you're believing in God. If you do not believe Jesus is God, then it's simply saying that, I do not believe in God. So what Jesus is saying here is that it's my word. My word is the truth. If you believe, this means that you believe everything that Jesus say, everything you trust by faith, you walk in this truth of who Jesus is, and what He can do, and what He has done for us on the cross. And by this, He says that this is a spiritual awakening. The moment you believe, it's part of your spiritual awakening. It reconnects you back to God, connecting you with God. And what is this connecting you with God, allowing you to have that life in Jesus? Having that life, that spiritual awakening, that spiritual life. These are all the five things that Jesus is equal to God. As I said, the Bible says that we inherit, we co-have with that. That means we have the capacity, we have all this quality in our life. We will not be equal to God, but we will have, inherit what He has. And there are two things, and then finally He gives us a glimpse of saying that, look, I'm equal to God, so when you believe in me, then what's going to happen next? There are two things happen next. He gives us a glimpse of what is our afterlife going to be like. All right? The five things that we can use in this life that He has, we can inherit it and reveal it, but He also shows us an afterlife. This afterlife, well, there is two resurrection. One is spiritual resurrection and one is physical resurrection. All right? Now, before we get into the details of these two resurrection, I just want you to take a note on verse or on what He proclaimed here first. In verse 25 and verse 27, He says something, I tell you the truth. When Jesus talked about spiritual resurrection, when He talked about resurrection, He used the word, He used the title Son of God. But when He talks about judgment, that means He used the title Son of Man. Now it leaves me, it gives us the gospel here. What John was trying to say is put into such an arrangement here, is to tell us that, look, there is, you want this life? You want this life? You want to have assurance of this life? This is what you need to believe. You need to believe Jesus is the Son of God and Jesus is the Son of Man. He's a fully God and He's a fully man. Why? Because only God, Son of God, only God can give life. So whoever believes will cross over from death to life. And then why the Son of Man? The Son of Man because man sinned. Because the Word became flesh and become humankind so that He lived among humankind to show humankind He understands humankind. So for you to judge a person, you need another person as a judge to judge you. If God is to judge you, that's unfair because He's God. But for a humankind, Jesus came as a fully man because He was sinless. He never committed a sin while He lived on earth. He became a righteous man. So He became a righteous judge who come, who understand humankind to judge humankind of what humankind has done. So in the end, we all know the results. Have we ever got punished? No. He took our place on the cross and become the judge. Being judged. Can you understand that? Can you see that? He sacrificed Himself for us to take our place on the cross. We're supposed to suffer. That's why the Son of God and Son of Man. If you need a salvation, you need a Savior. A Savior who is a fully God, who can resurrect from death, and a fully man who understands man and take away the sin. And Jesus fit this description perfectly. So only by coming to Jesus, the Bible says you cross over from death to life. It's a spiritual death, it's a spiritual life, and it also tells you when you cross over to life at this time, you receive a different kind of life. You no longer live, bound your life by your culture, by your thoughts, by your thing. But you bow it by the truth. So what is the outcome of this life? Now, there are spiritual resurrection and physical resurrection. Let's look at this on the side on the spiritual resurrection. The spiritual resurrection, we are talking about, where verse 25 says, a time is coming and it's now. That means this spiritual connection, this spiritual resurrection, before we met God, our spiritual is dead because we're a sinner. After we met Jesus, He revived. We come to Jesus, He revived our spirit. We regain that connection spiritually with God. Now, this is something, this resurrection happens right now, if you want it.
all right, then you can receive, because of this spiritual resurrection, you are aware. You suddenly, all of a sudden, aware that you're a sinner, aware there's a God, aware how powerful this God is, aware how Jesus is like. Then you live your life through Jesus. And as for the physical resurrection, it's talking about the end time. The end time, the time is coming, and it is the time, the second coming of Jesus. And it says, or on verse 28, it says that all in their grave will hear his voice. So I will die one day. I don't know when. After I die, if Jesus has not come yet, I'll be waiting. I'll be waiting in my resting place and waiting for him to come. When he comes, he will revive me. He will resurrect me. I don't know how is it going to be like. I can only see what the Bible says about the resurrection of Jesus. And we will most probably be like that. But at the end of the day, the outcome has two. If you have not have your spiritual resurrection before then, the physical resurrection have two outcomes. One, if you have done good. Good doesn't mean that you're a good person. Doesn't mean that you have been the most charitable person in the world. Good means that you have came to Jesus. You have known Jesus. You have followed Jesus. You are a disciple of Jesus. You're a true believer of Jesus. Then you are raised to life. And those who've done evil, evil doesn't mean that you're a criminal. You have taken drugs or you have done those minor sin in your life. It's talking about the biggest evil is that you reject Jesus. You do not believe in Jesus when he present the Bible to you, when he present the church to you, when he present the gospel to you. And you're raised to be condemned. So all the outcome, as you can see right at the bottom, spiritual gives you a confirmation, gives you an assurance you can claim it right now. You can claim your spiritual life right now. You don't need to wait until the last breath of your life. You can do it right now. The moment you receive Jesus, you have it. You cross over from death to life. And as for resurrection, you know, if Jesus has not come while you are alive, then Jesus will resurrect you and guarantee your seat in eternity with God. As for unbelievers, I know the result is eternally without God. So church, what is this life through Jesus about? Life through Jesus is telling us, it's not telling you how you should live your life, but it's showing you a glimpse of how Jesus' life is like and allowing us to imitate, allowing us to think what we can do. You decide on how you want to live your life based on the authority, based on the work of God, based on the power, authority, honor, and truth. All right? You become, with the life through Jesus, with that spiritual resurrection, you can become an instrument to God's work. You union yourself with God. That is a sign of what you can see because you have that life of Jesus. And you are powered by the life of Jesus to what? Overcome your bad bosses. Overcome any anxiety. Overcome your for example, like 2 days ago when we received the announcement saying that it's going to be locked down again. I believe a lot of people will panic. All right? But not for us. The moment we see, I make a few phone calls, make sure everything is all right. But that's not panic. We're powered by the love of Jesus. We're not afraid. We know the live stream is still going to be on. You know, if we can't come to church, let's get 5 people in and get our live stream going. And thank God, we come in, we make it work. And we still worship. We are not allowing any other things, not allowing a minor virus to come and stop us from worshiping our God. Amen? And then we have the authorized. We were authorized to share the gospel. This is the greatest thing that is given to us. The authority, do you know that every single time you are going out to share the gospel, don't be shy. Know that you are given that authority from heaven and from earth. You know how powerful is this gospel? You don't understand it. You won't understand the power of this gospel until you experience it yourself. Share it when you can. Share it with your little one. Share it with your husband. Share it with your wife. Share it with your friend. All right? Find ways to communicate. And then, how do we honor our God? worshiping our God, honor your life. How you live your life, use your life as a way, as an instrument to worship God. In your work, in your family, not just in your church. Church is not the only place to worship. Sometimes you go to church, you don't worship, you know. All right? That means every single moment where you are in, your thoughts, the way that you think, the way that you want to pray, the way that you want to talk to people, you use that as a tool, as an instrument to allow God to work through you, work through people. And then finally, you can walk by faith in the truth because you know who you believe in. Church, do you see the benefit of life through Jesus? Have you got this life? Why not come to Jesus today? The only way that you can live life through Jesus is by what John has always been saying. I write this Gospel of John to you so that you can believe Jesus is the Christ, is the Son of God. And by believing in His name, you may have life. For those of you who have not been living a life, or maybe you have backslide a bit through all this COVID-19 thing, maybe today is the time for you to maybe rededicate yourself. Come back to God, whether there's COVID-19 or COVID-20 or 21, I don't care. I only care that whichever virus that I have today, whichever pandemic or whatever happened in the world today, in my community today, I worship my God. I live my life through Jesus, not through myself, not through my culture. If those of you who have not come to Jesus, I invite you, all right, send me a message. All right, email us and say that you want to come to Jesus, you want to know about Jesus. I'm happy to talk to you. I'm happy to receive your call and have a prayer with you. All right, if there's anyone like this, don't be shy, let us know. This is the most glamorous, most amazing decision you ever going to make. To make a decision to follow Jesus and live His life through so that you know who's in charge of your life. Let's pray. Our Father, we just thank you so much for the truth, for what we have learned from the Bible and knowing the truth of what is Jesus. Jesus is not just a man. Jesus is equal to God and Jesus is God. And He is the one that we can rely and can trust on. And we can live the life through working with Him. We can live our life, experience His power of our resurrection and experience the authority has given to us to share the gospel and experience to His honor by giving Him honor and experience His truth by walking in the truth so that we know on a daily basis, every single moment, we start to learn the truth. The more we understand about the truth, then the more we learn about you, and the more we learn about how we can live our life. Lord, I just ask that your Spirit will go before us and may the truth live in us so that we can live a life that is pleasing to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Now, the next song that we have it on reflection, If Death Was Arrested. I hope that we can use this as a song to worship God in those five elements that we talked about just now.
Lost without hope and no place to begin. Your love made a way to let mercy come in. When death was arrested and my life began, ash was redeemed, only beauty remains. And my orphan heart was given a name. My morning grew quiet, my feet rose to dance. When death was arrested and my life began, oh, your grace so faint washes over me. You have made me new now.